Moscow, Russia, Kazansky Station, 7th of April, 2022. A long train travels slowly over a bridge. The editor-in-chief of Novaya Gazeta, Dmitry Muratov, or Dima, is sitting behind a desk speaking. I took train number 10, which was going on the Moscow to Samara route. I was going to meet my mother, whose birthday I'd missed. And 3 minutes before the train's departure, a man burst through the open door, shouted my name. I answered, yes. And after that, he started pouring terrible stinking red liquid on me. Photos of Dima, his face red from the liquid. He ran out of the compartment. I somehow wiped the paint from my eyes, grabbed my phone, and ran after him. Jerky phone footage from someone running alongside the train. Then Dima shouting, "You bastard!" He was already standing next to a policeman. He says to the policeman, "He came into my compartment. He shouted Muratov. He covered me in paint, shouting, 'Brah boys, I don't know what this means. Take your mask off.'" Dima flicks through photos of himself covered in paint. I understand the message they were sending. Shut up and keep your newspaper quiet. He nods slowly. The price of truth. 4 months earlier, Dima's dressed in a white shirt and black bow tie, and a man next to him is taking photos. Dima straightens his bow tie while the man snaps him in the mirror. Oslo, 10th of December 2021. Socially distanced delegates are sitting in a large hall.
The Nobel Peace Prize for 2021 has been awarded to two outstanding representatives of the press. Maria Ressa, working in the Philippines, and Dmitry Muratov, working in the Russian Federation.
Dima receives his prize and certificate, nodding his thanks. He's wearing headphones. He holds a presentation box containing a golden medal. Now he's standing addressing the audience. Does everybody have their headphones? On the morning of October the 8th, I received a phone call from my mother. She wondered how things were going. Well, Mum, we've got the Nobel Prize. That's nice. Anything else? Look here, Mum. I'll tell you everything. The world has fallen out of love with democracy. The world has begun to turn towards dictatorship. In my country, and not only there, it is popular to think that politicians who avoid bloodshed are weak, while threatening the world with war is the duty of true patriots. Film of Putin watching hundreds of soldiers marching past him. Dima steps through a door to cheers and champagne bottles being sprayed over him. Moscow, the offices of Novaya Gazeta. A woman throws her arms around him. We are journalists, and our mission is clear: to distinguish between fact and fiction. But journalism in Russia is going through dark times. Over the last few months, over 100 journalists, media outlets, and human rights defenders have been branded as foreign agents. In Russia, this means enemies of the people. Democracy needs rehabilitation. Let us put it bluntly: if we give up on democracy, we agree to war. Kyiv, 24th of February, 2022.
The dawn chorus that no one wants to hear. Air raid sirens in Kyiv, signaling that the full-scale invasion of a European country in the year 2022 was well underway.
Putin speaking. I have decided to conduct a special military operation. Tanks rumbling through snowy countryside. To this end, we will strive to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine, as well as to bring to justice those who have committed bloody crimes against civilians, including those of the Russian Federation. A little girl, then phone footage of a plane dropping a bomb onto a house. Dima rubs his face wearily. It's a catastrophe. It makes me feel emotional. This is a historic tragedy created by Vladimir Putin. Putin speaking from behind his desk. Whoever tries to prevent us or threatens our country and its people should know that Russia's response will be immediate. And it will lead to consequences the like of which you have never experienced in your history. The Kremlin reflected in an icy puddle. Then smoke streaming from buildings and firemen with hoses. A woman cries, "Where can I run to?" I think that Russia may destroy Ukraine, but it will not conquer it. A headline in the Novaya Gazeta on the 25th of February 2022 reads, "Russia bombs Ukraine." London, 1st of March 2022. Patrick Forbes.
Dima!
I'm here!
Where are you?
We don't see you.
It's not every year a friend wins the Nobel Peace Prize. I've known Dima for 20 years. We met when I was making a documentary in the chaos of the early 2000s. In turbulent Russia, he's always stayed the same. Open-hearted, principled, and brave.
Patrick, the whole world is against the war. 25 million people in Russia are against the war. That's an official estimate. It's very important that people who oppose the war have their own voice. People crossing a street in a busy city. For us, that's the most important thing. Readers are our country. Heavy traffic on a main road, then children sitting on swings, and the backs of three policemen as they walk down a street. Offices of Novaya Gazeta.
Dima founded his paper in 1993. It's been responsible for scoop after scoop. The horror of the Chechen War. The billions stolen by the ruling elite. The brutality of modern Russia. Somehow, Dima has managed to keep it alive, to walk the tightrope of unrelenting Kremlin pressure. He agrees we can film him and his paper. Just one condition: don't put their lives at risk.
An editorial meeting. Someone says, "We don't know anything." Dima says, "You don't know anything. Nobody knows anything. Because it all happens in one person's head. And we don't even know if he's flexing his finger ready to press the nuclear button or not. And everyone around is walking around whispering, it's 50-50. 50% he will, 50% he won't."
Novaya owes its existence to another Nobel laureate, Mikhail Gorbachev.
A photo of Gorbachev. Even the first computers to arrive in Novaya Gazeta's offices in 1993 were bought by Gorbachev with his Nobel Prize money. I met him when he was president of the Soviet Union, and I interviewed him. I came to the Kremlin, and my ID was checked 5 times before I went to his office. I got mad. And when I went into Gorbachev's office, I demanded that he show me his ID too. He holds up a photo of him and Gorbachev meeting.
That is a great picture.
At first, he started laughing. Then he climbed into the safe and took out his ID. In fact, I read it. It said, "President, job title, President. We haven't been separated for 33 years since then.
Fantastic.
All my life I've been friends with Mikhail Gorbachev, who had the same principle. We must open Russia up to the world and open the world up to Russia. And this principle has been blown up. Film of plumes of smoke and helicopters. 20 of them flew past.
This was Antonov International Airport, 15 miles from the center. And these were Russian helicopter gunships. This airfield is now being used to bring in the troops that will storm the capital.
A huge explosion in the distance.
As Russia's tanks pour into Ukraine, the government clamps down at home, limiting what anyone, particularly journalists, can say about the special operation.
If you write the word war, you'll be shut down. If you tell us how the fighting is going on in Ukraine, you have no right to do so, because you must only cite the point of view of the official military authorities. This is absolutely ferocious censorship. A headline, Tigers are coming to Kyiv. Dima sits down at a desk. No, I'm not allowed to have anyone buy tickets for me. Well, you're going to talk. But no, you can't. It's the law. But we always buy tickets and pay for the hotels. So don't be offended, please. I can't do this. Otherwise, I will be recognized as a foreign agent in Russia. I'm not ready to be a Western agent. I want to remain a Russian journalist. Riga, Latvia, 7th of March, 2022. Ukrainian and Latvian flags flying, and a damp, snowy street.
I get a message. Dima is in Latvia on the jury of a documentary festival. We can talk freely there. Somehow, I don't think it's going to be just about the art of documentary filmmaking.
Patrick and Dima sit in armchairs and clink glasses of whiskey. A young woman directs people in. Putin thinks he needs to win World War II again.
And how does it end?
Tragic.
Sad. There's no happy ending.
Yeah. And you keep fighting?
I'm not fighting. I'm working.
Just work.
And my main task is to keep my employees safe. On stage at the festival, Dima comes over to the camera to show a trophy. He smiles and says, "You take it." He and other delegates are grouped together on the stage to have their photo taken. I have to send the whole of my editorial team, which was collected like diamonds, to emigrate, to leave. Dima on the phone. I am negotiating this at the moment, right here. The day before yesterday, I met with the president. Today, the Minister of Foreign Affairs. The current estimate is between 20 and 40 people. I can't let anyone in on the details. These are secret negotiations, understand? Give me your word, because I don't trust Yelena. I love her, but I don't trust her. Yelena, your promises are well known. You forget, and then you say, "I misunderstood."
He's right to be careful. Since he founded the paper, 6 Novaya journalists have been killed after their reports offended the Kremlin.
My personal pain and my fault is we lost so many people murdered from the paper. Film of a body being loaded into a van and another person lying dead on the street. The open coffin of one of the dead. Igor Domnikov was the first. He was a brilliant guy. He was killed by bandits for his series of investigations. Irishi Kojikin, my closest friend, and an outstanding journalist. He was poisoned. Anna Politkovska. She made it to Chechnya, disobeying all orders. And I was on vacation at the time. Of course, I blame myself terribly for this. I should also mention Nastya Barbarova and Stas Markelov. Natasha Astemirova, who was Anya Politkovska's main collaborator in Chechnya. Their portraits hang on the walls right above the table where we meet. And I see them a lot of times a day. They're black and white portraits in a corner of the room. I'm ashamed of myself, but not the newspaper. Soldiers in a trench, loading shells and firing them. President Vladimir Zelensky. We're already handing out weapons, and we'll give them to anyone who has the capacity to defend our sovereignty. Shells lined up by a trench, and a soldier screwing the top on one. Then two soldiers striding down a dusty path. Thank you to Dmitry Muratov and the thousands and thousands of other worthy Russians whose conscience stands firm. Just to stop those who lie to all of us.
Like everyone around him in Riga, I spend 3 days trying to convince him not to go back to Moscow, that it isn't safe, particularly after Zelensky's endorsement. Today, he's off.
My flight lands in Moscow at 4:50 a.m. My colleagues will meet me at the airport. We will have a drink. I'll have a nap and be at work at 12 p.m.
Just as he climbs into his minibus, another one pulls up. Overnight, a party of journalists has escaped from Russia.
Patrick talks to journalist Roman Anin.
So how long have you known him?
15 years. 15 years. I came to Nova Gazeta in 2006 when I was 19 years old. He's like my second father. People think that his job is to be the chief editor, but his job is to save people, and he has always been like that. And in general, this feeling that we are going to the West and he's going to the East is, you know, is another symbolic sign of separation.
Where are you going?
To a safer place than Moscow. I don't disclose the location for security reasons. You know, I would prefer not to disclose the location to Russian secret services.
Пока!
Dima waves as he climbs into his minibus.
I'm afraid that, you know, something might happen to him. I wouldn't go. But that is why, you know, he's...
Why wouldn't you go?
Because I know that they most likely will arrest me. I don't know. I know that, you know, nobody survives Russian prison, or at least, you know, there is very small chance that he can survive Russian prison. And he knows all of that. And despite that, he goes back.
The minibus drives off down the street and turns a corner. Putin says, Muratov, look, if he doesn't break Russian law, and if he doesn't give a reason to be declared a foreign agent, then he won't be declared one. Everyone needs to clearly understand it is necessary to comply with Russian law. The price of truth. The price of truth.
In returning to Moscow, Dima is risking the wrath of an increasingly aggressive Kremlin. I'm all too aware that my friend's desire to challenge authority conflicts with centuries of state power in Russia.
Old black and white footage of Lenin speaking and gesticulating, then a display of soldiers marching.
That Putin is not the aberration, but the brutal norm.
Why did you become a journalist?
That's an old story. One day my friend and I went to get autographs for some great hockey players who came to our closed city. This is the city of Kubishev, and these great hockey players came to Kubishev every 3 years. When we asked for their autographs, they told us to fuck off, and we were terribly insulted and hurt. I didn't know that our mothers wrote to the newspaper, and they sent an envelope with two photographs. One to Dima, from CSKA goalkeeper Vladislav Tretiak, and one to Chenya, from CSKA goalkeeper Vladislav Tretiak. This absolutely amazed me, and I realized that I wanted to work for a newspaper. Anyway, it all started when they told me to fuck off.
Dima started as a paratrooper fighting in Afghanistan. Demobbed, he immediately joined Komsomolskaya Pravda as a war reporter. Fed up with state interference there, he and a bunch of colleagues left and founded Novaya Gazeta. Within 2 years, he was editor.
He walks through the corridors at the Novaya Gazeta offices. On the 14th of March 2022, a woman holds up a sign saying, "No war," behind a newsreader.
Talk about cutting through, interrupting the Channel 1 flagship news last night with a homemade placard. The studio director immediately cut away to something else.
Police manhandle demonstrators away.
Under a deliberately vague law passed 11 days ago, you now face up to 15 years in prison in Russia for calling the war the war.
A woman strikes screaming to a police van. Then officers in full body armor march onto the streets. Dima speaking at a presidential press conference. I still have a question about foreign agents. This law has no judgment. There is no court there. You're declared a foreign agent. There is no evidence. There is no sentence. You're just branded a criminal. Let me remind you of our favorite childhood book. This is exactly what happened to Milady in The Three Musketeers. But when Milady was beheaded by the hangman at dawn, she was at least finally read the sentence. Putin replies, "First of all, I would like to congratulate you on being awarded the Nobel Prize. So your concern about foreign agents. I'm not going to beat around the bush. You said there was no verdict. You're right, there really isn't one. Milady was sentenced and her head was cut off. But no one is cutting anything off here." Putin stares at Dima. Dima says, "I'm shocked at what I'm seeing. I saw Putin a year and 1 week before the invasion of Ukraine." He said that it was not in Russia's interests to annex any territories. He was completely cool and calm. Something happened this year that changed Putin's whole line of thought. Sitting at an official desk, Putin makes a statement. "Everything that is happening is a desperate measure. They've left us no other option." Dima says, "I don't know what happened to him. For some reason, I think he could have been influenced by the absolute loneliness of COVID, when he was alone with himself. And no good came of this meeting between Putin and Putin." Jerky film of smoke and bombs falling in Mariupol. It's raining bombs. God knows how many have died. But we can't go and help. Dima's in an office with another man.
Dima confides his plan is to stay one step ahead of the authorities in a risky game of cat and mouse.
A subheading is translated as "New Edition, created in accordance with all the rules of the amended Criminal Code of Russia." A building is bombed. A headline reads, "Continue to make President Putin see the consequences of his actions." Elderly people are helped along a street, and another headline reads, "Bring them home." More Russian headlines in the Novaya Gazeta and political cartoons. One headline is translated as "Prosecution Lies." Then a notice on March the 28th saying, "We received another warning and are suspending publication of the newspaper on the website until the end of the special operation on the territory of Ukraine." Talking online to Patrick, Dima says, "We received two censorship warnings in 1 week. That means there will be no further warning. We will be stripped of our right to publish the newspaper."
Right. So look, this is the first time you've suspended the paper. This is your paper that you started. So how did that feel personally?
Well, the other option is this. We are accused of extremism and our employees are put in prison. We'll be back. I promise you, we'll be back. Novaya Gazeta, forever. I'm going to say one more thing. No one knows this yet. Patrick, my medal has a new destiny. Today, we reached an agreement with one of the largest auction houses in the world that we're going to sell the Nobel Medal at auction in New York. And together with UNICEF.
Fantastic. Good.
The money from the sale of this medal will be used to help refugees, Ukrainian refugees, and their children.
When?
Yelena, sitting next to Patrick, asks, "Do you know when the auction will take place?" "I know, but I won't tell you. No discussion."
Less of that. Okay, good luck.
Dima waves and puts his hand right up to the screen, and Patrick does the same. In slow motion, film of traffic on a busy road in Moscow. Kazansky Railway Station, 1 week later. The clock on a tower outside reads 9:20. I got into my compartment. I took my seat when a young man ran into the compartment and asked, "Are you Muratov?" I said, "Yes." He says, "This is for you." Phone footage from someone running alongside the train and filming Dima covered in red paint inside. Now footage from Dima's phone of him leaving the train and running over to a man standing beside a police officer and shouting, "You bastard." He goes over to them and says, "You can't, you bastard." The man's wearing a hooded coat and a mask. "Excuse me, please arrest this man. Take your mask off." He refused to take off his mask. I filmed him talking to a police officer and saw that the policeman had his passport. "I need your phone, and I need to figure out who leaked the seat number of the compartment I'm in." "Goodbye, everyone. Bye-bye. Let's see what you can do about it now." The officer says, "We just called it in." And I hoped he would now be detained, because he had committed a crime. Photos of the train compartment splattered with red paint, and Dima himself, his face and arms stained red. He flicks through photos of himself and the train compartment. My editorial team, to whom I handed over any videos and clues, within 24 hours, thanks to our investigative team, found the person who did it. He wasn't alone. A photo of Nikolai Trifonov, who threw the paint. They belong to a military veteran group near Moscow. A still of Ilya Markovets, who filmed the attack. All of them work under the roof of the secret services.
This happened a couple of days after you announced the auction. So was it a message?
This was within a week of announcing the auction. Really, I hadn't thought about it. You're right. They know which train I'm on, where I'm sitting. They have access to all the databases. We represent the interests of the state. That's what I was told. The Kremlin at night. Then Dima sitting in the offices of Novaya Gazeta in the daytime, with a phone held to his ear.
Dima calls. It turns out the paint wasn't just paint. It was laced with acetone.
He's wearing dark glasses. Yesterday I was examined at an ophthalmology clinic. I have burnt tissue in both eyes. And burns to the eyelids. Worse in the left, less bad in the right. Thank God the cornea isn't damaged. The price of truth.
Владимир Владимирович Путин.
If someone intends to intervene in what is happening from the outside, they should know that they will create for Russia an unacceptable strategic threat. They should also know that our response to oncoming strikes will be lightning fast.
In Putin's war, its vital dissent is stamped out. Any dissent. The attack on Dima, the suspension of his paper, isn't enough. The Kremlin wants Novaya closed, permanently.
Dima sitting in a sunny park. We received another warning from Roskomnadzor and the Prosecutor General's office. It was the second in a week, and yet another fine. It's the 10th or 12th, I don't remember. 1st of April was the birthday, the 29th birthday of the newspaper. We all gathered, probably for the last time, and it was the birthday of a paper that doesn't even go to print anymore. Dima talking at the gathering. I would like to tell you, of course, that our country will need rehabilitation, preferably during our lifetime. And it will start with us. Because the outstanding work that this newspaper did under impossible conditions will go down in history forever. Photos taken at the gathering, with staff smiling, chatting, hugging and drinking. A photo of Dima talking with his colleagues, one of a man dancing, and another clutching a cushion to his chest and staring thoughtfully into space. There are many people, lots of people who left, who don't want to stay in Moscow. There were farewells every day in the office between those who stay and those who leave. Riga, Latvia, 20th of April, 2022. A double-decker coach pulls up. It was a tough goodbye. My colleagues were walking down the corridor with backpacks and bags. I won't see many of them for years, probably. A man climbs off a bus and shakes hands with another man. And these are people we've lived our lives with. They are the most talented people who we found one by one. They are all brilliant, talented professionals. Another man climbs off the bus and greets those waiting. And so we say goodbye to them.
The first fruits of Dima's secret negotiations. An anonymous apartment block in a Riga suburb is now home to a handful of his journalists. They're trying to put out Novaya Europe, but it has to be publicly separate from the Moscow operation for fear everyone there gets jailed.
We work here, let's say, for 3 or 4 weeks already. We have to say that we totally different newspaper from Novaya Gazeta in Moscow, you know, totally different. No connection at all.
No connection at all. It's
absolutely another newspaper.
Editor Kirill Martinov.
Feel like you have some kind of duty. The duty is to stop war. Novaya Gazeta brings information about the situation with casualties and war losses for Russian society. Our mission probably is to bring some unpleasant truth for Russians.
For Dima, how is it for him?
I feel like it's tragedy for him.
Yes.
It's a kind of personal loss. Our task is to show that it was not complete loss.
Kirill puffs on a pipe. Bucha, Ukraine. An aerial view of body bags lined up, then a man sobbing. As he gets to his feet, men in white forensic suits pull a body bag out of a ditch. One of the men unzips it. Another comes over to the sobbing man, who says, "Close his eyes, my brother. Over there, the fourth one." He points, and the man says, "The fourth one? The fourth one. Or which one is it?"
Was this orchestrated, or was this from just rogue units of the Russian army?
Of course, it was ordered to kill civilians. It was ordered. And what you see here in Bucha, actually, you see, it's not only war crimes. It's crimes against humanity.
A young man in a forensic suit comforts the sobbing man, who turns and leaves.
The Bucha shockwave goes around the world, but it doesn't reach Russia. Under total Kremlin control, the press reports the atrocities as a smear, and Putin's ratings go up.
A newscaster. Today, at the foot of the country's largest hydroelectric dam, an action was held in support of the country's military. 150 students from the Siberian Federal University lined up with Russian flags into the letter Z. It has already become a modern symbol of the fight against Nazism.
Dima decides he has to make another risky journey and use the freedom of the West to denounce the war in a way he cannot at home.
On the 2nd of May 22, he's in Geneva, Switzerland, at the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation. There's a huge experiment happening with 150 million people. Some people can resist propaganda, some can't. I can't blame my whole country for supporting the war. It's radiation. Propaganda is like radiation. Over the last 6 months to a year, the largest media companies that expressed alternative views to the government have been closed down. When society doesn't notice that there is no free media left, this means that propaganda has won. In a different interview, a man says, "Just remember all those stories about Viagra, packs of which are being handed out to our soldiers." RT's director of broadcasting, Anton Krasovsky, replies, "Yes, being handed out to our soldiers for them to rape Ukrainian grannies. God, those grannies would spend their burial savings to get raped by Russian soldiers." These words are spoken by head of state Russian channel RTR and director of broadcasting for the whole of Russia, Anton Krasovsky. Anton Krasovsky says, "Should Ukraine remain on the map of the world?" Riga, Latvia. Kirill and two female colleagues head over to a building.
Every day, more and more Novaya journalists make the risky journey to Riga. Half of the paper's staff have fled Russia.
Offices of Riga's Vilni Publishing House. Kirill says, "We need stable Wi-Fi, some space, some furniture, and nothing else." Look at all the people who are here. Next week, there will be more. Maybe 10 or 20. Let's say 20. Okay, this whole zone can be yours.
20 people coming here. This is going to be an operation.
Yeah. One option is to just to keep silence in Russia. And, you know, no one wanted to do this.
At a meeting, a man asks, "Is there a deadline? Preliminarily, can we say 9th of May? A very good date." Kirill and the others chuckle. Moscow, Victory Day, 9th of May 2022. Soldiers on parade. Putin makes a speech. "Dear Russian citizens, dear veterans, fellow soldiers and sailors. I congratulate you on the great victory day. Female soldiers marching in perfect unison. So now you are fighting for our people in Donbass. And for the security of our motherland, Russia. Rows of body bags and four men loading another body bag onto the back of a van. Russia called on the West to engage in an honest dialogue, search for reasonable compromise solutions, and take into account each other's interests. It's all in vain. Glory to our valiant armed forces, for Russia, and for victory. A line of soldiers all respond in unison. Then armored vehicles driving slowly through the parade and past a grim-faced Putin. The price of truth. The price of truth. Riga, Latvia, 12th of May, 2022.
So this is home.
This is our part. And you can see the same pair of persons.
Against the odds, Kirill gets his paper out on May the 9th.
We publish here, it's like basically like a magazine. And so we published it here in Riga, and we sold it in Latvia and in Estonia. But we have a lot of problems with cover, because any covers we did, it just looked like Russian Novaya Gazeta, and it's unsafe for them. So we tried to recreate newer and new versions. If you can imagine, it was done in a week by a group of people who are basically sitting on suitcases. You can imagine it's a kind of a good work, and basically I'm proud of this. We probably sold, let's say, 5,000 of copies.
He leafs through the paper. Now a tank rumbling across dusty terrain, and night footage of bombs being dropped on a building.
Kirill and Dima are facing down an increasingly triumphant Kremlin. By the end of May, Russian forces controlled 20% of Ukraine's territory.
A tank with the name Zorro painted on the side moves forward, then does a U-turn. How is it possible that for the first time in history, the whole of life on Earth depends on the finger of one man? International Press Freedom Day in Geneva. In a conference hall, Dima is sitting on stage holding a microphone and wearing headphones. Many people will now take offense at me. How did many politicians behave? They came to Moscow, met with human rights activists, took pictures with them, and then went to sign trade agreements. For oil, for gas, titanium. 10 EU countries have sold 237 million euros worth of weapons. Who knows whether these are being fired on Ukraine or not? Bypassing sanctions, 10 EU countries. You do realize that Putin knows he is being sold arms, don't you? How can Europe say anything to him about values after that? He shrugs, looking out at the audience. The Kremlin at night.
Dima's defiance, his refusal to do or say what's expected, is hated by the Kremlin and its supporters.
A ram's head in a basket with red flowers and a message reading to the editor-in-chief of Novaya Gazeta, greetings to you and Korakov. Our journalists have been repeatedly sent funeral wreaths. A wreath with the message Denis Korakov, traitor to the motherland. At my CEO's country house, the gates were daubed with swastikas. To my friend Vinny Diktov, who lives near the editorial offices, they threw a pig's head at the door and drew an anti-Semitic sign. This happens all the time. We will continue to work under these conditions.
After a month away, Dima is in Tallinn on the final leg of his journey back to Moscow. He's taken trains, boats and planes, all to throw the authorities off the scent, to prevent another attack on him.
He wheels a suitcase across a hotel foyer. You know, it's very hard to imagine your homeland without freedom. But it's just as hard to imagine freedom without your homeland.
Right now, it's very, for me, very scary for my colleagues. I have anxiety about them, constant anxiety. We already lost too many.
When you see Dima, he's going back to Russia. What do you feel?
Me, personally, I'd prefer he would not. But I also know him too well to expect that from him, that he stay here. No, he goes. That's him. That actually, he exists in Russia. He is Russia for me. He belongs there.
Ekaterina Glickman.
Are you scared?
You know, we've made a deal about that. Are you scared, and what about your safety questions are not going to be answered. I work in Moscow. I can't leave the editorial team that is still there. I can't leave those people. It's impossible. He's being driven along a road in Tallinn. A plane flies beneath thick clouds overhead. Moscow.
In Moscow, it's day one of Dima's latest cunning move. If he can't put out a physical paper, well, how about a magazine? With all the articles he can't otherwise publish.
We are now making a supplement to the closed newspaper, which will be called the first syllable from Novaya Gazeta. No. The team gather around the table. As promised, in parallel with the magazine release, work is underway on a new internet platform.
Dima's second gambit, a YouTube channel, with all the interviews he can't run, which could reach millions.
We've stayed at home, stayed here with our readers who can't leave. Not everyone can leave. This means that someone has to stay. His colleague says, and now we will discuss with you the issue of printing houses. Dima says, I'm not an observer, I'm a participant. New York, 20th of June, 2022.
Throughout all my conversations with Dima, there's one constant. I have to be in New York for June the 20th, auction day.
Dima steps into a building. I'm feeling nervous. I don't want this to be just a symbolic gesture. I want to raise a seriously big sum of money to help Ukrainian refugees. He walks down a staircase to hordes of photographers as the shiny gold medal is shown off by a female assistant. I was in hospital for cardiology examinations, and I realized I felt incredibly powerless about what was happening. But the war had started, and there was nothing I could do. And that night, I thought that one thing I could do is not to be self-pitying, and that I should give away the most precious thing I have. I thought it would be very appropriate to auction a Nobel medal. Daughter Finley Muratova.
when the war in Ukraine started, there was a one day when it was really hard on me and I was crying on the phone with him, sobbing, wailing, you know, all of the ins and outs. And he went, Finn, I know that you feel really bad right now. I think the only way for people like us to feel better is to help those who feel even worse.
It is my profound honor to welcome now Dmitry Muratov.
Dima heads up to the podium.
Today is an International Refugee Day. And it's not a holiday.
16 million беженцев Украины.
There are 16 million Ukrainian refugees.
40% of дети.
40% are children. Two-thirds of all children of Ukraine are forced to leave their homes. I'm asking you all to think for a second that it is your child.
Dmitry, are you ready to do this? Are you ready? 875 now to go to 900. I'm at 875 now to go to 900. There's 900,000. Thank you very much. 925 now to go to 900.
Dima's filming on his phone.
There's $1 million. We're over $1 million.
3 hours earlier.
Okay, let's make a bet as to how much it's going to get. I say 2.5 million.
$2.5 million. If it goes for more, you owe me a 12-year-old McAllen. And if it's less, I owe you one.
There's $2 million. $2 million. $2 million. $2 million. Here it is, 2.4, 2.5. Now 2.6. Same bidders, back and forth. 2.6. Don't look at her. Now to go to $3 million. $3 million. Nick, are you on the phone? Let's go. There's $4 million.
And what do you think the Russian government reaction to the auction is going to be?
I think there will be a wave of hate from the propagandists. I don't think it will be pleasant. I think there are tons of idiots out there who will think they need to get back at me. Dima stares out of a window. The thing is, those people that covered me in paint, they are well known. The editorial team found them in a day. They were detained by the police, but then released. That means they have protection.
It's complicated because I'm angry at him, because all I want for him to is to be safe, and the more he does, the less safe he is, but I can't describe the kind of pride I feel. It's overwhelming. I know he's doing the right thing, and I was raised to believe that doing the right thing means the most.
I'm at 16.6 million. 16.6. Take another good look at what you're getting. Now 16.8. What do you think? Want to go to 16.8? He says he's thinking about it at 16.8. New bidder, completely new guy.
He's valued at 103 million plus or not.
Can I just hear that one more time? Take your mask off so I can hear you, please.
Stated value bid at $103,500,000.
Well, that's one way to do it. Wow, that's a lot of dough.
A phone bid of $103,500,000. Dima hugs the man beside him. Then they both hug another man.
It was shocking, but like, it's my dad. He always pulls crazy stunts. Something always happens. He calls us his like angel keeper, or whatever it's called in English. Guardian angel, his guardian angel. He believes in guardian angels. Who knows?
We did a good thing, exactly what you wanted.
Dima and the auctioneer hug, then he leaves the auction room. Heavy traffic on a road in Moscow. Dima walks into his offices and hugs a colleague who says, Do you have any idea who bought the medal? He hugs more of his colleagues. This is a consortium, Lewis explained, so it's not just one person. More importantly, I know that UNICEF, Heritage and the bank have been very thorough in checking the provenance of the money. Dima opens a bottle of whiskey. I warned your producer, Patrick, with respect, your documentary project lost. And that's why I drink what you lost to me. He finally uncorks the bottle and holds out the cork with a smile. He pours out a measure of whiskey and drinks it. The price of truth.
Let's just bring you some breaking news.
È morto Mikhail Gorbachev. Aveva 91 anni.
Russian President Mikhail Gorbachev has died. He was 91 years old.
30th of August, 2022. Dima carries a black and white portrait of Gorbachev ahead of a large wreath. The lid of the coffin is removed. Gorbachev put human rights above state law. For Gorbachev, world peace was more important than personal power. 30 years without war, without the threat of nuclear war. No one else has been able to give the world such a gift for 30 years. Dima and his colleagues drink to Gorbachev.
Patrick.
I knew Gorbachev like this.
Right shot.
Tough, smart, fast. I saw Gorbachev happy. A photo of Gorbachev and his wife. Very happy. They were a sexy couple. Dima holds up another photo of Gorbachev weeping. This is saying goodbye to Reza. Gorbachev's holding a handkerchief to his eyes. I love this man. He was not afraid of the opposition. He was not afraid of competition. He was not afraid to end war.
Gorbachev's death removes a vital defense for Novaya. With him gone, there's no one who can reach an increasingly vengeful and aggressive president.
Putin takes a seat well away from his colleagues on the other side of a huge circular table. Good afternoon, dear colleagues. We have already heard many times that the West wants to fight us to the last Ukrainian. This is a tragedy for the Ukrainian people, but it seems that this is how it's going to be. Everyone should know that we haven't even got started yet. Dima says, not a single person from the entire Russian elite dared say a word to Putin. And these people call themselves the elite. The elite has received absolutely everything from Putin. The elite is scared of Putin more than anything else in the world. More than God. A demonstration and armored police arresting people.
Suddenly, opposition figure after opposition figure is detained, all of them facing substantial jail sentences.
Yevgeny Roizman, opposition politician, detained for using the word invasion. Ivan Safronov, journalist, jailed for 22 years for treason. He sits with folded arms in a glass-doored box in court. Vladimir Karamurza, political activist, charged with high treason. He's walking along a street. A large building lit up at night. At the offices of Novaya Gazeta. Our employees are being imprisoned. For example, Andrei Zarkin, who's responsible for the big data department. He is a great scientist. Special forces broke into his apartment. They stormed his apartment because 3 years ago he transferred 1,000 rubles, that's £10, in support of the politician Alexei Navalny. Police pinned someone down on the ground. We're living now in a pirate state, where they have guns and others don't have guns. Some do whatever they want, while others are forced to do what they say, like Navalny. Of course, I was absolutely shocked by this photo. Look at what Alexei Navalny has been turned into. Now, I'm not a political supporter of Alexei Navalny, but J.K. Rowling in her book, I think it's The Prisoner of Azkaban, there are dementors who suck the life and joy out of a person. He's a critic of the current regime, and life is being sucked out of him. Navalny behind bars, looking pale and thin.
In early September, it's checkmate. The government launches a wave of court cases that will close all of Novaya's operations inside Russia for good.
Dima's in Basmany Court, Moscow, on the 5th of September, 2022. Guided by Article 175, the court has decided to invalidate the registration of the newspaper Novaya Gazeta. Registration recorded June the 4th, 2006. Serial number RF7724-1833. Outside the court, Dima says, a decision that has no legal basis. We are being tried for allegedly not handing over any documents 20 years ago, although everything was handed over. The verdict had already been decided, it just hadn't been announced. This is absolutely obvious to everyone. The representative of the Ministry of Justice said this is a precautionary measure. I asked him, is it true that murder is a precautionary measure? Or is this actually a homicide? A darkened corridor and empty desks in an office.
The Russian state is ruthlessly asserting its supremacy. Throughout Russian history, the state has had no compunction about using brute force to buttress its rule. Whether it's repeated Tsarist massacres of the peasantry, the show trials of the 30s, or the gulags of Soviet rule.
Old black and white film.
The price of autocracy is all too evident. In a terrible echo of Dima's Nobel speech, the vortex of war that he foresaw in Oslo is coming all too true.
Kerch Bridge attack, 8th of October, 2022. Putin says, the October 8th explosion is a terrorist act. It is simply impossible to leave a crime of this kind unanswered. This morning, a massive strike was launched with long-range, high-precision air, sea and land-based weapons against energy, military and communications facilities in Ukraine. Vienna, Austria, 3rd of November, 2022.
With Russia an increasingly dangerous place for him, Dima's in Austria.
Kirill is standing on the street.
So why are you here?
Well, it's a kind of conference, but we use this, well, opportunity to meet Nobel Prize winner Dmitry Muratov. Well, it's a rare opportunity during this year, during this war.
Publicly, the two men can't be seen together anywhere. It risks proving Dima a foreign agent. Curtains closed, phones off. This is the only way Dima can talk safely to Kirill. They've got to keep the Riga operation going somehow.
They're in a darkened hotel room. You know, it's safe to say the defeat of independent media within Russia is complete. The judge, when he closed Novaya Gazeta, his biggest rebuke, the main accusation was, you sow doubt. What the fuck else are we supposed to do? That's our job, to ask questions. Maybe we're approaching the end of what we can do in Russia. Sitting in an armchair, Dima rubs his face wearily. Paris, France, 12th of December, 2022. The busy Champs-Élysées leading to the Arc de Triomphe.
Then, defiant to the last, at a major European award ceremony, Dima and Kirill are seen together for the first time, ending the pretense that Novaya Europe has nothing to do with Novaya Moscow.
Rows of glasses laid out and a crowd of people waiting. Dima asks Kirill, don't I look good in this suit? I've lost weight. A camera follows Dima into the conference hall, where he walks in with Kirill. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to applaud Dmitry Muratov, who is with us this evening. Welcome, Dmitry. Dima climbs up onto the stage and addresses the audience. Thanks. This is a new era of confrontation between dictatorships, authoritarian regimes, and independent journalism. 86% of journalists' murders are unsolved. Can you tell me another profession like this? 262 media outlets, independent of the state and the Russian state, have been closed in Russia. More than 300 journalists and activists have been declared foreign agents, that is, in Stalinist terms, enemies of the people. First, journalists were killed, and now they're killing the entire media.
Merci.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dmitry. Thank you all. A near-frozen river near the Kremlin, with its red walls and minarets, and a heavy stream of traffic. This has been the worst year of my life. My country is at war. I would like there to be peace in Russia, and I calmly retire, go to hockey, and read books. But this is only possible if Russia is at peace. Putin lives in the clouds. He's thinking about how to change the past. He thinks that death is good if it means dying for the motherland. And I think that living for the motherland is the most important thing for Russia. We have a conflict between life and death.
And that was the last time I saw him. He's in Moscow, eyes hurting, his paper closed, his website shut, his journalists mostly in exile. We've had to stop our filming. It's just too dangerous for him and his remaining team.
8 months later, 4th of July 2023, a woman, her face stained with green liquid, her arms in bandages.
The prominent Russian journalist, Elena Milashina, has been violently attacked, along with attorney Alexander Nemov.
This journalist was left beaten and pleading for her life at gunpoint in Russia. She and her team were attacked by masked men in Chechnya.
Unknown assailants shaved off Elena's hair, doused her in blue-green liquid iodine. Elena Milashina reports for Novaya Gazeta.
As she steps into the hospital corridor, she nearly collapses. Livid bruises over her back and shoulders, and her shaved head stained with green.
Then I get a call. Demas on a plane. He and his friend, Alexei Venediktov, are going to get Milushina and fly her to Moscow.
They are severely injured, beaten. Sasha Nemov and Elena Milushina were taken right after the flight. Attackers threw the driver out, put them in a car, took them to be tortured. The people who did this, it was an armed group of 10 to 12 people. They knew what plane, on what flight, at night by UTER, they would arrive in Grozny. This means that these people had access to the passenger flight booking system. To me, this shows that these people represent the authorities of the Chechen Republic. Beslan, 11:50 p.m.
It's risky. Again and again, Chechen authorities have threatened retribution against Muratov and his team. So Dima flies into neighboring Beslan, an hour's drive from the Chechen capital. There are sighs of relief when the ambulance carrying Milushina and Nemov arrives from Grozny.
Let's go. Inside the departing ambulance, what did they hit your fingers with? Sticks, these polypropylene sticks, and they held it like this, holding your hand and beating you with a stick? Yeah, they held my fingers and beat me directly. I mean just like that. Now they say, we'll break one for you, we'll break the other. She's given a tray of food, and Dima cuts up her meat for her. Her shaved head is still stained green, but she smiles. Her swollen hands lie one over the other in her lap. Moscow, 4:20 a.m. Elena steps down from the aeroplane. Sasha limps across the tarmac after her. Now Elena's lying in the back of an ambulance. Dima says, my personal pain and my fault is we lost so many people, murdered from the paper. So my main task is to keep my employees safe. A long list of journalists named as foreign agents by the Russian Ministry of Justice. There are around 100 names on the list. The list continues with around another 100 names. A smaller list of around 40 names of journalists jailed in Russia.